Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Let's turn to Galatians 5. Last 2 weeks we've been talking about the anointing. And this morning is the anointing part 3. We're really focusing on the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do in us by the Holy Spirit. And we're going to see that this is a word that encompasses everybody. Nobody can opt out without damaging the whole body. So I just asked Pastor Jonathan to go and make sure that there was nobody sculling around in their rooms or anything like that, because everybody is significant this morning in what God is saying to us. Now, these are very well-known words, Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Another international speaker that has now gone to be with the Lord is a wonderful man of God. He used to refer to the gift of the Holy Spirit as the kiss of God upon your life. We had a great time at the communion this morning as we focused on that, the kiss of God on your life. The very evidence of God's love for you. Kiss signifies that love, doesn't it? And so God has kissed you. This is not sentimental language. It's expressing a profound truth. He has kissed you out of his love for you. Kiss is also a very intimate thing. And, of course, it's very intimate to have the Spirit of God living in you. So this kiss of the Holy Spirit on your life not only expresses God's love for you, but has placed God's love within you. And of course, he has done that so that he can express that love and all these other qualities of the Spirit that are described by Paul as the fruit of the Spirit, so that he can express those things within your life. Now, the anointing of the Holy Spirit enables all this fruit of the Spirit to be produced in us and to be expressed through us. Obviously, there are things in our lives that are a contradiction to those things. You can very easily think of the negative that seeks to undermine the positive. Selfishness is the opposite of love. Lust is the opposite of love. So Paul says, well, we've crucified the flesh with its passions. We've crucified those things that are a contradiction to the fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. Joy, of course, the opposite is to be joyless, is to be morose, is to be sad, is to be despondent. That's all the flesh manifesting itself. It's not the spirit. That anxiety and fear is the very opposite of peace. The impatience is the opposite of patience, and so on. You can go through all these things and see that the flesh produces precisely the opposite of what the Spirit of God produces in us. And so God puts His Spirit in us in order to produce His life, His love, His joy, peace, and so on, through our lives. Now, if you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God has been doing great thing amongst us in these last few months, but it's important that we don't plateau, that we keep moving ahead, we keep moving higher with God, we keep moving in. And so we need to see, well, is there anything in our lives or amongst us that is hindering that? Obviously, if any of us give space to the negatives that are a contradiction to what the Spirit wants to produce in us, then that's not going to help. It's not going to help you as an individual, but actually it's going to damage the body. And I don't think Christians understand sufficiently the way in which what is happening in them personally affects everybody else that is in the body to which they belong. We've got far too sort of a personal view of ourselves. It's all between what God and me is working out personally. And that's true, but it's only true within the context of belonging to the body. And so in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says this in verse 27. Verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you can see the parallel with the physical body. Supposing you broke a leg. The leg is now not able to function effectively. The rest of your body may be perfectly healthy, but because you have a broken leg, you're laid up in hospital for several weeks with your leg up in a sling. You're immovable. The body can't function simply because you've got a broken leg. Only one part of the body has been damaged, but it affects the whole body. Is this too deep for you? We see, therefore, that if we are operating, if any of us operates like a broken leg, that something's not functioning properly, that is going to affect the whole body. We might think it's just between me and God, or I've got a problem, or I'm working through an issue. But actually, while that is happening, the body is affected. And God, by His Holy Spirit, produces all this positive fruit in us, but at the same time, He confronts us. The life of the Spirit confronts in your life whatever is not of the body, but also confronts in the body and in the relationships within the body what does not glorify Him. Are we getting this? So none of us can operate independently because we're part of the body. Even though that leg may be broken, you can't detach it from the body until it's mended, and then say, well, now come back into the body and function effectively. There's a sense in which the whole of the rest of the body is carrying that leg as a passenger until it begins to function properly. Now, what the Holy Spirit is in effect doing is confronting us with the wrong heart attitudes. Because all those things that are a contradiction to the fruit of the Spirit are wrong heart attitudes. Selfishness, wrong heart attitude. Lust is a wrong heart attitude. Being sort of negative instead of joyful is a wrong heart attitude. Being full of fear and negativity and anxiety is a wrong heart attitude. And so on. Impatience is a wrong heart attitude. It's all to do with harboring something within our hearts that is negative and is not of God and is a contradiction to what is of God, which is the Holy Spirit in you. Are you all breathing? So the Holy Spirit has this sort of dual ministry in the lives of every one of us. He produces the positive and confronts the negative. And it's how we respond to him when he confronts the negative that enables that to be dealt with quickly for our own personal benefit, but also for the good of the whole body. Because if we are not facing up to an issue in our own lives, that's not only damaging us personally, or you personally, you're damaging the body. This is how you have tremendous responsibility towards the other members of the body. And the responsibility, therefore, is to keep your heart right towards God and right towards others. If your heart is not right, you are, in fact, holding up the progress of God's work. Now turn to Numbers chapter 12. I looked briefly at this with some of the second years a couple of weeks ago, but we need to see how important this is to us now. Now, you remember that when God called Moses to go to Egypt to deliver the people, he said, you know, I'm not a speaker. He tried to get out of it, really. And God said, well, I've called Aaron, and he is going to be with you there to be, you know, your support, your right-hand man, and he's already on his way. God had already got it all planned. Of course, when it came to the actual event, it was Moses that spoke and not Aaron. But, you know, Aaron was, if you like, he was there to give Moses the confidence that he needed, so he was not alone. The two of them could agree. And everything was fine in the way that Moses was really supported by Aaron until this event that we read of here. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses. Right, now, Moses was the Lord's anointed. He had been called by God to lead the people. He was God's choice. He hadn't been elected by men. In fact, he had a real problem to be accepted by the elders of the Israelites when he went back to Egypt. You know, who are you? Was their kind of attitude. They came to respect the fact that it was God who had chosen him. And, of course, their attitude towards Moses changed with the circumstances, as so often happens with people. But of course, Aaron the one whom God had raised up to stand with Moses, it was very important that his attitude should remain at one with Moses so that they could lead the people effectively in the way that God was wanting. So now something very serious is happening. Because Miriam and Aaron began to speak against Moses. Now, although Moses wasn't filled with the Spirit in the way that was possible after the day of Pentecost, yet, of course, he was a man of the Spirit and the anointing of the Spirit was upon him to enable him to meet with God and to lead his people. So something serious is happening now that is effectively going to, unless it is dealt with, it's going to undermine the anointing. It's going to undermine what God is doing. So Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife. Now, Moses should not have married a Cushite wife. You could say, therefore, that Miriam and Aaron weren't right to criticize Moses, but they were right in believing that Moses should not have married a Cushite wife because it was going against what God had said to his people. But what do you do when someone is called by God, chosen by him, and yet he does something wrong? Because if you criticize the man, you criticize the God who chose the man. You're actually saying, God, you were wrong to choose Moses. So when Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses, they were now raising themselves above Moses. They had a self-righteous attitude that to them put them above him, because if you criticize someone, if you judge someone as they were, you're placing that person beneath your judgment. You have raised yourself above them. Are we there? So what they were in fact doing was completely reversing the order of God. God says, no, Moses is the one I've chosen. Aaron is the one who supports him. Now, Aaron and Miriam have raised themselves above Moses. God is not pleased because his order has now been completely jettisoned by Miriam and Aaron. So what is their attitude? See, the heart attitude is wrong. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Aren't we also anointed? Doesn't God also speak through us? Aren't we right to say that he should not have married a Cushite wife? Self-righteousness. Not the righteousness of God, but self-righteousness. Self-righteousness comes out of pride, and it produces a critical spirit. So now, Miriam and Aaron have a critical spirit. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? Aren't we anointed? Don't we have the Spirit? You can see how the parallel kind of attitudes are seen among believers today, sadly. And then there's this awesome phrase, and the Lord heard this. And the Lord is not amused because he hates righteousness. It is a self-righteousness. It is as filthy rags in his sight. So God's attitude is, what are these guys doing, daring to criticize the one I raised up and put in leadership over them? They should be honoring Moses, not criticizing and judging Moses. Are we all here? Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. So the heart attitude that gave birth to this self-righteousness and all these wrong attitudes is the pride. There was pride in Miriam and Aaron. But God raises up the humble. And why had he raised up Moses rather than raise up Aaron and Miriam above Moses? Because Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And God raises up the humble. He puts the humble in the positions of authority and leadership where he wants them. We're not talking about men and human structures where people appoint themselves. We're talking about God's appointing. Are you there? Okay. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. In other words, come before me, all three of you, and I'll sort this out. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud, came down in his glory. He stood at the entrance to the tent, the place of meeting, and summoned Aaron and Miriam. Now, this is a bit awesome, isn't it, if you get summoned by the Lord? This is like a bit of judgment before judgment day. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions, I speak to him in dreams, but this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Now you see, Miriam and Aaron were accusing him of being unfaithful by marrying a Cushite woman. But whatever the rights and wrongs of that, Moses had sorted it out with the Lord. Because the Lord is saying, in my eyes, and those are the eyes that matter, Moses is my servant and he's faithful in all my house. Doesn't mean, you see, that he necessarily gets everything right, everything perfect, but he is faithful in leading my people in the way that I want them to go. With him, I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. It's not these, you know, the Lord said to me, and can you tell me what it means, because I'm not sure. It wasn't like that. He spoke very clearly to Moses. When he gave Moses the law, it was absolutely clear. This is what my people are to do. Boom, 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 boom. So with him, I speak face to face. You know, who do you think you are, Miriam and Aaron? You're criticizing my anointed one, whom I speak with face to face. Are you jealous? Are you proud? Are you arrogant? Are you self-righteous in daring to have a judgmental and critical spirit towards my anointed one, my chosen one? Are we there? With him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of God. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? See, what in effect God is saying to them, you speak against Moses, you speak against me. You judge Moses, you judge me for choosing Moses. You dishonor Moses and you dishonor me. Even if you just dishonor him in your heart, you dishonor me. You see, the thing is this. You cannot receive through the anointing on anybody's life if you are not in a right relationship with that person. They might be speaking the truth like I'm speaking the truth now. But you won't be able to receive it if your attitude, if your heart attitude isn't right towards me. And that's true of anybody else. Anybody else whom the Lord raises up, calls to speak or to minister to you, your heart attitude has to be right. If your heart attitude isn't right, then you can't receive from him, and the whole body is going to be damaged because of your wrong attitude. Because whatever goes on in you affects the whole body. So when God speaks through Moses or whoever, it's for everyone. It's not just for those who want to receive or who are in the right attitude to receive. God's word is for all. When he speaks to the body, it's for every member of the body. Somebody thought amen, but now, what's the Lord's attitude towards Miriam and Aaron, therefore? The anger of the Lord burned against them. Let me tell you this. If the anger of the Lord is burning against you, everything's going to go wrong. Sickness, overtiredness, feeling heavy, morose. You'll be struggling. You're struggling even to survive. Why? Because your heart attitude isn't right. So, then the cloud lifted from above the tent, and there stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Now, why Miriam and not Aaron? Well, presumably Miriam was the cause of the problem. Wives often are. I'm not being sexist now. I'm being serious. Because wives sometimes are protective towards their husbands in the wrong way. And you can imagine Miriam saying to Aaron, you know, Moses shouldn't have done that. You are the Lord's chosen. You are the Lord's anointed. You ought to rise up now, and your leadership of the people should be recognized. Wives can be like that. Aaron's mistake was to listen to her. Because it's Miriam and Aaron that criticized. But God knew where the source of the problem was. So it was Miriam and not Aaron that got the leprosy. Are you there? Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy. And he said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. God doesn't give somebody leprosy. I mean, this is God working, all right? God doesn't do something like that unless it's really serious. And to him, this wrong attitude was so serious that it could undermine his purpose for the whole of the people that they were called to lead. If there's division in the leadership, there's problems in the whole body. So God knew how serious this was, but also he knew that it would lead Aaron and Miriam to repentance. So he knew that this affliction would only be temporary. Much like he blinded Saul of Tarsus with that bright light on the way to Damascus. But in his foreknowledge, he knew that in 3 days, the blindness would be healed. He wasn't inflicting something permanently upon Saul, who became Paul, of course, nor was he afflicting something that was going to be permanent upon Miriam. But he wanted to show Miriam and Aaron just what he thought of what? A wrong heart attitude towards his chosen servant. All scripture is written for our learning, beloved. And he said to Moses, "Please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." So now Aaron is humbled, and the one he was criticizing, he now has to turn to for help. "Intercede for us, Moses. Help us." What's God doing? He's bringing things back into right order. But look what it's taken. Are you there? So Moses cried out to the Lord. This is the humble one who meets with God face to face. He cries out to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her." His attitude isn't, "See, she got what she deserved. That's what comes from criticizing me." No, no, no. He's a humble man of God. He falls on his face. He intercedes. Now he cries out, "Oh God, heal her." The Lord replied to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back." So there were going to be 7 days of this because God wanted them to understand just how serious the situation was. It wasn't going to be just, "Oh, well, leprosy here one day and gone the next." You know, one moment and gone the next. It was, okay, 7 days she's going to be separated. 7 days will be a real lesson to my people. But look at the effect upon the whole body. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until she was brought back. Miriam's wrong heart attitude, aided and abetted by Aaron, stopped the whole body moving forward for a whole week. The rebellion, the wrong heart attitude, the critical spirit in one person meant the whole body could not move on. Until her shame had been addressed. Paul, of course, understood these things, which is why he said, "If one member suffers, all suffer together." The whole body is affected by whatever is going on in one. People might not realize that, but there's always this knock-on effect. God understood that. You remember when Jesus ascended to heaven, before he ascended to heaven, he'd given the promise of the Holy Spirit to the disciples. And they met together every day for prayer, no doubt expecting the Spirit to come on the first day, because Jesus said, when I return to heaven, I'm going to ask my Father and he's going to pour out the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit didn't come on the first day or the second day or the third day or the fourth day or the fifth day or the sixth day or the seventh or the eighth or the ninth. It was only on the tenth day. But by that time, they were all of one heart and mind. Yeah. All the wrong heart attitudes towards each other had been addressed. There had been repentance in the whole body, and now God was ready to bless all 120 of them. That's the wisdom of God. Because, of course, things were then going to happen so fast. 3,000 converted, then 5,000. There was going to be no time for wrong heart attitudes, no time for petty squabbles, no time for there to be division right at the beginning of the body of Christ. This was the beginning of the body of Christ. Do you understand that? Once his body had returned and now the Spirit had come, this was the beginning of the body of Christ on earth. And God was saying, I'm not having my body here on earth birth out of any divisions or wrong heart attitudes. Because if they're birthed like that, that is what will infect the whole body. So he was waiting till they were of one heart and one mind. Why? Because he had prayed before he went to the cross, Father, may they be one. Yeah. Not just one externally, but one in heart. Yeah. One in heart attitudes. We're not going to spend time looking at this morning, but if you just go on for a moment to chapter 16. There was a rebellion amongst a greater number of leaders. And now they're rebelling against Moses and Aaron. Why? Well, you reap what you sow. Aaron had sowed rebellion, so now he's going to reap something of what he'd sown. Okay, so Korah and Dathan and Abiram and the rest of them, it says, became insolent and rose up against Moses. See, you rise up against God's order, and to God you're insolent. How dare you? How dare you even harbor a wrong or critical attitude to the ones that I have chosen? Are you there? With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. So, the wrong attitude of this handful, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, had infected 250 other leaders. Because that's what happens. Gossip, right? When gossip is spread, negativity spreads. When people are openly critical, critical spirit spreads. Do you realize if somebody is critical and you receive what they say, you get their critical spirit? Unless you stand against it and take the shield of faith against that criticism, if you do that, then you won't be affected. But if you accept this criticism, you are affected by it yourself. And you are then likely to pass that criticism on. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, so they came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, you have gone too far. Now, what they say sounds right. The whole community is holy. Every one of them. And the Lord is with them. Yes, the whole body is holy. Every member of the body is holy. And the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly? Aren't we all equal? Aren't we all the same? When Moses heard this, here's the humble man of God again, he fell face down. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, in the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy. You call yourselves holy, but what you're doing is not holy. What you're doing is going against the holy God, because you're being critical of what he has put in place. So in the morning, the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will have that person come near him, the man he chooses, and so on. There's no time to go into it. What happened to them and all their families was that the earth opened up and swallowed them all. Fire came down from heaven, and then the earth opened up and buried them all. We don't want to, but that's what God thinks about those critical, rebellious attitudes. Again, that's the judgment. Now, it's good that we live in the Old Testament, New Testament times, not the Old Testament times, because the blood of Jesus saves people from that judgment. But what you see in the Old Testament is that's the judgment that God says such attitudes deserve. Even though they seem to be right. Oh, we're all holy. We're all the Lord's people. We're all anointed. But that is covering over a wrong spirit, a wrong heart, a critical attitude. Are we there? Now, if that kind of thing happens among God's people, what happens to the anointing? Can you see that those judgmental, critical, negative attitudes were the opposite of the anointing? What was said sounded right, but it came from the flesh, not from the Spirit of God. It was therefore, if it was not dealt with, it was going to lead to serious problems for the whole body, for all the people. So God exercised the judgment that he saw was needed in that kind of situation. Can you see that not only do attitudes like that affect the whole body, but they affect especially the family. The families got condemned along with them. And God said to the rest of the people, stand clear of their tents. Get well clear, because I'm about to act in judgment. And you see, whatever is going on in you, if you have a family, will affect the whole family. Whatever attitude you have, well, we've seen how with Miriam and Aaron will affect your husband, your wife, will even infect your children. Very serious. If you're not married, your wrong heart attitudes will affect those to whom you relate, especially those to whom you relate closely. And if they don't stand against you, they will become infected by the same spirit, by the same negativity. And it isn't, when you stand against something, it isn't that you judge in response to their judgment. It's just that you take that shield of faith and say, I am not going to listen. I am not going to be part of what you're saying. You are wrong. Why? Because you're testing what is happening by the Word of God. How do we know what is of the Spirit and what is not? Simply by seeing what the Word of God says. Now, why have I brought this word this morning? Simply because I've been saying, Lord, we need to move on. You've been doing a rich thing amongst us, but if we're not careful, it's going to plateau, and each morning is going to be like the previous morning. We want to move on. Why aren't we moving on? And the Lord said to me, because you're not all one. Do you remember me saying to you that when we had the revival at the Hyde, whenever we came together to pray, if there was any sin, even of the smallest kind, if anybody had been guilty just of a wrong thought concerning anybody else, God would not let us pray. Now, let me tell you, the anointing that was upon us at that time was just so, so amazing. I mean, it's the most amazing period of the whole of my life. But you see, if you're going to live in that degree of anointing, God is not going to tolerate even a wrong thought without ensuring that it was immediately dealt with. And what would happen in circumstances like this is somebody would say, oh, forgive me, I've had a wrong attitude towards so-and-so. And the other person was probably there and they said, please forgive me. The person would be forgiven and on they could go. On we could all go. We could all go. You see, the wrong thought in one person affected the whole body. Now, we're not quite in that place of intensity yet, are we? Hello? But God is saying there are issues in some hearts that need to be addressed. I am not going to tolerate anybody in the body having a wrong heart attitude, especially to those whom God has anointed and raised up in leadership, but also towards one another. Because as we heard last week, we all carry an anointing. And if we honor the anointing of God, yes, we give double honor to those in leadership, but we honor also those whom God has honored by kissing them with His Holy Spirit. If God has chosen to kiss their lives, we choose to kiss their lives. Not physically, but with love. You understand me? So you can see why it's important for the whole body to hear this message, and anybody who isn't here will need to listen to it. Because when Jesus prayed, Father, may they be one, he was serious. And he wasn't talking about structural unity between denominations. He was talking about Christians being of one heart and one mind. And you see, with God, it's impossible for us to deceive him or to fool him or to pull the wool over his eyes and to make it out that everything is fine and all our attitudes are right, when God looks not on the outward appearance, but on the heart. If you get a wrong attitude towards someone, what do you do about it? Well, you get before God until your heart is right, because you're damaging the whole body until you do that. The whole body is encamped, plateaued, can't move on. You see, we'd like to think, oh, God, you wouldn't let others You wouldn't let others suffer because of the disobedience of one or two or three or of a handful. God says, you're one body. If one suffers, all suffer together. If one is not right, it's going to affect what I can do with the whole body. Bit awesome, isn't it? Hello? It is awesome. But you see, we're now reaching, we have reached a point of God where a message like this becomes highly relevant. Because God says you can't move on until you've sorted out your Miriams. Until you've got right heart attitudes. Now, this, of course, is a word for us. It's a word, really, actually, that will affect the whole of Kingdom Faith. Because we are just part of the body that's here. But we live in an intensive situation where some of us are working together every day, others of us are studying together and living together every day. How important, therefore, that we have those right heart attitudes. Okay, so let's go back to where we started. Let's finish on the positive note. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Does love criticize? Does love judge? Is love self-righteous? Is love proud? No, Paul says love is not proud. Love does not keep any record of wrongs. See, even though Moses had been wrong to marry a Cushite wife, Miriam and Aaron were keeping a record of the wrong. Moses had obviously already sorted it out with God, because God says, he's honored in my sight. So what are you doing holding on to the wrong? Our problem, you see, is that we don't like being confronted. A lot of us don't like it when we need to confront situations in our lives that need to be dealt with, but we certainly don't like to be confronted. It offends our pride. It offends our self-righteousness. And how do we hit back when we feel that offense? We become critical and judgmental of those that have caused the offense. But what we don't understand is actually it's not the people that have caused that offense, it's God has used those people to address something in us that is not right. When your heart is right, you not only have a right attitude, but you react to circumstances with a right attitude. Even when it's a problem, even when some difficulty arises unexpectedly, you meet it with faith, you meet it with love, you meet it with mercy, you meet it with forgiveness, you meet it with grace, you meet it with positive, because the kiss of God is on your life and the Holy Spirit is within you. You don't meet it with the flesh. The flesh takes offense. The flesh feels hurt, damaged. Oh, poor me. And God says, it's not poor you. It's sinful you. Now face up to it. Your attitude is wrong. And you're damaging the body as well as yourself. Beloved, we are dealing with God, and God is dealing with us. Not some benign schoolmaster. With God, the creator of the heaven and the earth. How dare we go against his order, his word? But the fruit of his spirit is love. Joy. You see, Miriam and Aaron, they'd lost their joy. Korah, Nathan, and Abiram, they'd lost their joy. The 250 other leaders, they'd lost their joy. They didn't have peace. Why? They'd stepped out of God's order. And you see that? But the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the anointing, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, not allowing those fleshly negative things to rise up. The fruit of the Spirit is to keep those things under control. Why? Because we've crucified the flesh with its passions. We've crucified those wrong heart attitudes. We refuse to allow them to damage our lives, to hinder our witness, and to affect the body. God has talked to us about reformation of his church. This is a message about reformation. Because the church has got to get out of this personal individualism that it's just me and God. The church has got to rediscover its corporate identity and understand how whatever happens in one affects the others. And what a responsibility we have, therefore, to love one another by keeping our hearts right with God. And therefore, right with one another. Wouldn't it be good if we didn't have to have a message like this? And okay, it may be that God is speaking to some more specifically than to others, but I believe that somewhere in this there's a word for all of us. That it's not a question of getting at this one or that one or the other one. It's a question of saying, God, what do you want to work out in us as your body? Yeah. Let me just round off by saying this. You know, when you're in a position of leadership, you know when people's attitudes are not right around you. You just know it. They don't have to say anything, you know it. There was an occasion, I just really do not like what can happen to you. But we were having a conference here some years ago, and we had a visiting speaker. And he was actually talking about this subject, about the unity in the body and having right heart attitudes to one another and towards the leadership and so on. And he asked me to do when this is done to you in the middle of a meeting, there's nothing you can't say no, I won't, because you sort of undermine the credibility of the guy who's speaking. But he said to me, I'm going to ask Pastor Colin now to come and sit on, in fact, he didn't say pastor, he said apostle. Apostle Colin, to come and sit on the chair. And I want every one of you to come and say that you are submitted to his authority. I thought, oh no, come on. So I sat on this chair and everyone, and the place was packed. The NRC was full. Really full, because we used to have a lot more chairs out. And I sat there all this time, and one person after another came before me, and I could tell immediately those who were sincere and those who were not. I refrained from thinking you liar with some of them, but actually they were lying through their teeth, and I knew it and they knew it. Because for one reason or another, they were not truly submitted to my authority. They weren't walking in that submission. I'm not in that position now within the body here, and I'm not going to ask Pastor Clive to come forward and for you all to do that. I wouldn't do that to him. I love him too much. But what the man was aiming at doing is just showing how important it is for every member of the body to be in that right place of submission. But that's not my purpose this morning. I mean, it's a byproduct of what I'm saying. But you know, we can't afford to camp. You know, the people of Israel were camped before they crossed the Jordan and took possession of the land. And you know, the word of the Lord came through Moses. It's time to strike camp. And God, you know, they carried the ark and the waters were stopped and they went across the river. Remember all that? We can't afford to camp. We really can't afford to camp. We've got to keep moving ahead, keep moving forward. Faith camp, when there's got to be a movement of reformation happening, is only a few weeks away now, and we cannot afford to camp. We have got to move on with God. There's got to be that unity amongst us that commands the blessing. God has blessed us so much. I mean, God has just shown his faithfulness to me in these last few days in so many wonderful, wonderful ways, just fulfilling the word that he speaks. You know, as some of you know, we're going to move house. And it was only just 3-4 weeks ago that we made the decision. And when I prayed about it, God said, you will sell your house speedily and you will find a house to buy speedily. And it took us 2 weeks. Our house was on the market. It sold last week. And yesterday, our offer for a house we're going to buy was accepted. So in 3 weeks, the whole thing is done. Now, those of you who know what is usually involved in buying and selling houses, things don't happen like that normally. That's God. But you see, it was his word. It's what he said. He said, this is what I'm going to do. Right? And the house that we're going to buy, you know, it was very attractive. Many people went around to visit it on an open day. And I was praying, Lord, none of those that go around the open day will put in a bid for that in the name of Jesus. So I had the phone call from the agent yesterday. Nobody who visited, because about 8 lots of people were visiting, none of them put in an offer. Praise God, because he is faithful. You see? And I mean, you see the faithfulness of God even in little details like this. I mean, that is of insignificance compared with what God is saying to us about reformation of the church and really impacting the nation in a new way as a people that are living in unity, as a people that are honoring the anointing on their own lives, honoring the anointing on each other's lives, honoring the anointing on the leadership that they are committed to following in the name of Jesus. So, beloved, we better pray. This has taken a bit of time, but I believe the Lord has been working through the word this morning. So let's stand now and just respond. It shouldn't take too long to respond, because I don't want to see leprosy suddenly appearing on anybody here this morning. And I believe the mercy of God is such that will never happen. Hallelujah. Because we now have the blood of Jesus that intercedes for us. But let me tell you, just because we have the blood of Jesus, that doesn't justify the wrong attitudes. So just close your eyes now. You stand before God. You don't stand before me or Pastor Clive or the leadership here or anything like that. You stand before God. God who sees the nature of your heart, from whom you cannot hide a thought or an attitude. Is your heart clean before God this morning? Free of all those negatives? If so, thank Him. If not, then ask Him to purify and cleanse your heart. It's not just towards leadership, it's towards anyone else in the body. If you've been harboring criticism, judgment, jealousy, anger, if you've been keeping record of some wrong that was done to you, anything that is a denial of that love, then come on, get it sorted. Get it sorted with God right now. Because you're hurting yourself and damaging the body. Just make use of that precious blood that Jesus shed for you to cleanse your heart and your mind. Remember in Scripture, heart, mind, it's all one. How do you know that your heart is right? Your thinking is right. And if any wrong thoughts crop up, you take the shield of faith against them immediately. Thank you, Lord, for the cleansing power of your blood. Thank you that you do not judge us as we deserve, but you are merciful towards us. I pray, Lord, that for each one of us in this room now, and for all the other members of the body too, but especially for those of us that have come under the sound of your word this morning, cleanse every heart, I pray, Lord. I plead with you, Jesus, cleanse every heart from all that is negative, from every vestige of criticism and judgment, of pride and self-righteousness towards others, of jealousy, anger, bitterness, of holding on to any hurt or any wrong. Cleanse us, Lord. And where we need to forgive someone, give us the grace to do that. Give to every one of us teachable spirits that respond readily to your word and to what you say. We stand against any leprous spirit afflicting our thinking, anything that is unclean, that would undermine the work of your spirit in our hearts and lives. And we don't want to stay encamped while anybody's getting sorted out. Lord, we want to move ahead. We want to strike camp and enter into all that you have promised. And we bless you, we praise you, we thank you. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name, Lord. Just thank the Lord for His mercy, for His forgiveness. Maybe some of you will have to go to someone else and ask for their forgiveness. Well, that's a humbling thing to have to do, but it may be necessary. God may lay it upon your heart to do that, because he wants your relationship with that person to be restored. He doesn't want you just to tolerate that person and to coexist with that person. He wants that relationship and bond of love with that person. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you, Jesus. Lord, we realize we can't treat your word lightly. We can't treat you lightly. I just pray that every one of us in this room will walk today and every day now in all the positives of your Spirit. That every life here, as a result of what you do in us this morning, will be full of your love, full of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Pray, Lord, that that will be the attitude of everyone towards everyone else, that we won't be selective and love only those who love us or love only those that we find it easy to love. But that our heart attitudes will be right towards everybody else in the body. Now, Lord, thank you for kissing my life. Thank you for kissing the life of everyone here with that precious gift of your Spirit. Thank you for honoring each one of us by coming to live in us. And Lord, we want to honor you by walking, by keeping in step with the Spirit, as your word says. Following the leading of your Spirit, walking in all those positives that your Spirit will create within us. And Lord, we thank you that you are so merciful. That we can pray right now for a healing of your body. If there's been any damage or any hurt caused by any of us to the body, we pray, Lord, that as you are merciful and gracious towards us, so you will heal any cracks, any rifts, any broken relationships, any wrong attitudes, that as we repent of those things, so now a healing will come into the body and a fresh degree of unity that will command the blessing, enable us to strike camp and move on with you in your reforming purposes. Thank you, Lord. This has been a reforming message this morning. It's been a reforming time, Lord. And thank you that when you reform, you bring us into the unity that you desire. So we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Really thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.